Okay, so I have chosen to talk about the speech Duty, Honor, Country by General Douglas MacArthur. And so the particular excerpt that I've picked out from the, because it's quite a long speech, is the ending part of the speech. Okay, so before I go into some detail about the speech, I'm going to talk about, just give you some context. So General Douglas MacArthur was born on the 26th of January in 1880 in Little Rock, Arkansas, and he passed away on the 5th of April in 1964. His first prominent military role was in 1919, where he became a superintendent of West Point Military Academy, and that role ended in 1922. He then went on to become a five-star general, which is the highest class of general for the U.S. Army during World War II, and he was the commander for the U.N. forces in the Korean War. So, okay, in 1962, 2 years prior to his death, West Point Academy honored him with the Sylvanus Thayer Award for outstanding service to his country, which prompted him to give this speech as sort of an acceptance and thank you. And it was directed at the cadets and commanding officers of the West Point Academy. But the audience also includes any military personnel, which in no matter what part of the army they are, like whether they're in the Air Force, Navy, and whatnot, because it applies to all of them. And so yeah, so that's the context for the speech and the audience. Reception. It was a lot more relevant back then because that's when open war was going on. But this speech still translates to nowadays because it's still something which people should strive for. And I'll go into that into a little bit more detail. But okay, so the speech. The speech has four primary purposes. The first and most obvious is just as an acceptance and thank you for receiving the award. The second is to instill a sense of pride and patriotism within the cadets, which are going to become soldiers later on, and it's to make sure that they know what ideals to uphold, and they are duty, honor, and country. The third is that it's to reflect upon and celebrate the brave and courageous men who came before, and men who he personally led into battle, and who embodied these ideals, which are duty, honor, country. And the fourth, it's kind of serving as a recognition that he's getting old and he's a part of the old generation, and it's sort of passing on the torch, so passing on the responsibility to the new generation, which is represented by the cadets. Okay, so the primary, address these purposes, he kind of uses three overarching tones, and they are a tone of reverence, and a tone of empowerment, and a commendatory tone. So if you look at lines 12 and 13, the beginning of paragraph 2, you'll see that he uses very emotive language. So you are the lead in which binds together the entire fabric of our national system of defense. So okay, looking at the word leaven it usually refers to yeast, which makes the dough of the bread rise, or it refers to something as a pervasive influence which modifies something for the better. So that in conjunction with a very emotive and grand language, so entire fabric of our national system of defense, he's showing that he has support for the cadets, and then he's empowering them. He's showing that this will be your duty to uphold and make the system better. And so that serves to address one of the purposes, which is to instill pride and patriotism within the cadets. Now, looking on at if you have a quick glance, you'll see that he repeats duty, honor, country, the title of the speech, three times, and they are always repeated in the same order and at the end of paragraphs and sentences. Why do we do that? So this constant repetition and placement ensures that this will be the thought that each and every person listening to the speech will be left with at the end. And this serves the purpose, which is to make sure that the cadets know what ideals they have to uphold. And this is where the kind of reverential tone comes in, because he is talking as a man with experience and who's old, 82, and he's wise, so he's kind of passing down the knowledge, which again serves to address the purpose, where he is passing down the responsibility of taking care and protecting and serving the nation from his old generation to the new generation. Okay, so the third tone, which I mentioned, that is overarching, is the commendatory tone. And that, if you look at the third paragraph, That is where, which is from lines 27 to 33. That is where it comes through, mainly, because that is where he is very sentimental. He uses very sentimental and reminiscent language, almost nostalgic of his past, where he is commending and honoring the soldiers which he worked with in the past. So this kind of language, which is demonstrated here, so their memory is one of wondrous beauty, watered by tears and coaxed by the caressed smiles, caressed by the smiles of yesterday. So that kind of very sentimental shows that, like, language shows that he really like has a good, like, well, good is a non-appropriate word to say, but like he really like idolizes and like sees those men as like important, and he's trying to honor them, which serves the last purpose of the speech, which is to honor those men. So he uses like the rule of three a lot. He uses that in the very title of the speech, and in the three words which he thinks that cadets should uphold, the ideals they should uphold. And why does he use the rule of three? Because the rule of three emphasizes like that it's something of importance, and it's being shown that like listing three things in threes is good to like make people remember. But he also does it in occasion. So exactly where I pointed out here within this paragraph. So their memory is one of wondrous beauty, etc., etc. From lines 29 to 30, it's again using the rule of three to emphasize his point. So he uses that throughout the speech, and he uses it again in the end: the corpse, the corpse, and the corpse. And so that is the very line before he says, "I bid you farewell." And so that's showing again that he wants to emphasize how important the army is, especially the soldiers, and these upcoming cadets, up-and-coming cadets, which are going to become the corps, are going to be like important. And so he's trying to show that he has support in them. So again, serving the purpose to instill pride and patriotism within them, but also to show that he's passing down the responsibility from the old generation to the new generation. So I'm going to address logos, ethos, and pathos. So just quick like recap. Okay, logos is the use of logic to support a claim or an argument, and that is particularly prevalent in the beginning. So he, in the beginning paragraph, or I shouldn't say beginning because it's not the beginning of the speech, but in this first paragraph which I'm looking at, he is saying that the soldiers should not worry about what the civilians have to worry, which is like about like having to deal with like process of the government, all the bureaucratic system. He was trying to emphasize that they should focus on maintaining these ideals, which are duty, honor, country, to serve their country. And so he uses reasoning to like by listing all these ads and then showing that that is not what they should be like trying to like paying attention to, but rather that they should be striving towards these ideals. So ethos is basically talking about the like a source's credibility, and in this case, since this is all coming from General Douglas MacArthur, he is the source of this material. And so because he was an extremely well-respected and renowned general, he was 82, so he's considered wise, well-known, and an experienced man. That lends the credibility to his speech. And he uses pathos, which is an emotional and motivational appeal. And he uses his stories of the past and accompanies them with emotive language and vivid language and sensory detail, such as I hear again the crash of guns, the rattle of musketry, etc., to try and convey and make that relatable to the cadets who haven't experienced that, and to other people who have not been in a certain that kind of situation, so that they can relate and they can understand what soldiers went through and why it is important to uphold duty, honor, and country. Thank you.